Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to. Courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts, the podcast where nothing is off limits. Haley, nothing. The echo.
Creepy.
Nothing. One of my favorite videos you did, by the way, was women's orgasms creeping through the door. When
creeping through
honestly,
the door.
What are you going to explain it about?
Well, it's like for a woman, how an orgasm feels, or when you're having sex, it's like you're almost there. Almost, and it's like, you know, they finish, you're not satisfied, and then you just queef. That's essentially the video.
Is that the name of your book?
Yeah. And then you just queef.
But it is, it's I always say this, I said this in the podcast, guys don't become very good at sex until they're about 27. Mm-hmm. Guys are incredibly selfish and things.
Very
you
well aware.
Keep pushing yeah. this. He keeps pushing
it's
this
true.
Thing,
it is
saying
true.
That men aren't good at
you
sex.
You think you
until...
were good at sex in your early 20s?
I think I was all right. I think you were just trying to cover your tracks with the terrible sex.
No.
To all my past partners.
Yeah. Don't worry about it now, though, because I'm fucking awesome. Now that I'm 30 plus, I am.
But I do. I think guys are like selfish and they care about orgasming themselves. And
for sure. But as you get, I mean, you're quite tired these days. Not like when we have sex, but just generally, like after the gym, your back hurts.
Well, I think when you get into a relationship also, you don't have sex as often. Hey, are you in a relationship?
Yeah.
Do you have sex a lot?
Yeah.
Well done.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. But it's important to have that. You have that partnership, but you need to have that intimate relationship as well.
Yeah.
How do you, for all listeners out there who are in, how do you keep a relationship sexually alive, would you say? That really intimate question, it might be.
I don't know if it's an intimate question. It's a hard question. I think, I don't actually know.
Yeah, how do you do it? I mean, like, because typically what happens is that you both start living your lives and then the worst thing in life is to become friends with your partner, I think. And that happens a lot of the time. And people think
it's probably worse things.
That is the worst thing.
I can think of a few.
But it is. If you're in a relationship, what happens a lot of the time is you become really good friends with your partner. Mm. And actually, sometimes people go through periods where when you first get into a relationship, you're kind of really sexually kind of like curious with each other. You do lots of different things and stuff like that. Then when you get into a relationship further on, sometimes it can come a bit awkward where you're literally like, because you know each other so well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're like,
no,
oh, we're looking at each other.
Yeah. Don't look at that.
I was, God save my God, I was going to hate you for this. We were having sex. And her nickname, I call her, is Bazzy. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, Bazzy. She went, stop that. Right.
Bearsy.
Call me Janet or something.
Oh, Janet.
But you know what I mean?
Like, who the fuck's Janet?
Do you know what I mean? Or you become more comfortable with your partner, but sometimes sexually you don't become as more comfortable.
No, I don't know. Because I think sometimes if you've been in a relationship for a really long time, then you're like, let's try something we've never tried before. And then you're like, we just ruined our relationship.
Yeah.
And there's no going back.
I want to dress up. I want to dress up as police officers.
You're the bear.
we're both on duty.
Really getting an insight here. I mean, I don't know. I think, I guess like when you first get in a relationship, it is very adventurous. You're very much like trying to discover what each other likes and how far, not how far you can push it, but you know, what your kinks are, I guess. And then I suppose when you're comfortable, it's just like, let's have missionary.
Yeah, I guess at the beginning.
Let's go wild tonight. I'm going to lift one of your legs up.
One of them. I'll lift the other one tomorrow.
Yeah. So. We'll alternate.
What, like you're on a cross trainer.
Here we go.
Just getting a workout.
Yeah, full doing. Workout. You know, two in one of these.
I think in the beginning it's quite formative, isn't it? Yeah. It's like you want to show them what you're worth. And then like after a year, you're like, can't be asked. Yeah.
But that is not good. That's not a good thing to be.
It's
that's
definitely
what
my
point
but
is.
I don't know. I kind of think it is because it means you're comfortable.
Really?
Yeah, you want to feel comfortable around them. Like at the beginning of a relationship, I don't know what other people are like, but you want to wear your sexiest underwear or have makeup on or hair look
dressed
nice.
As the Mask of Zorro.
Hello there.
Your sexy side. Oh, hello. Hello, partner.
Partner.
Sorry, we're in the Western. Partner.
Yeah.
Howdy, partner. You do that and then you sort of go, this little thing, just picked it up earlier. It's true, you do.
Yeah.
But women are so much sexier than men. Men aren't that sexy, I don't think. I think women find men sexy in their sort of behavior, I suppose.
Yeah.
But women also are sexy in their behavior, but women are much more to look at sexier than men are. No?
Maybe
not.
I mean, you'd say that because you like women.
Yeah, I would say that. But I don't know. I just think that men don't look as sexy kind of naked and things like
that. Yeah, no, that is true.
Do you know what I mean? Am I being wrong here?
You've been watching yourself in the mirror again, must
I? I don't know. You know, if you ever, any nudes, if you've ever sent a nude, I've never sent a nude, ever.
That's not true.
I don't believe you.
Oh my God.
You don't need to send them because you get your knob out all the time.
Yeah, right, on live.
Hello. But honestly, sending a nude from a guy is really unflattering. My girlfriend gets them slid into her DMs quite a lot. They're so unflattering. It's like,
but what is it? Just
dick in hand. It's just dick in hand.
There I am again.
I don't know. I just think it's. I think women are much sort of sexier. But in relationships, my point is the whole point was how do you keep relationships alive with the love, with the partnership, with the date nights, with all those kind of things? How do you do it in your life? Would you say?
I don't know. That sounded like really like ugh. Listen to that.
Yeah, that
like,
list.
Yeah,
God.
I was like, oh fucking hell, what a chore. I don't know. I think you just have to make time for each other. And I think if you do get to a point where you feel like, oh, we haven't had sex in a while, make a point of the next week. Let's have sex every day, even if you don't want to. Obviously, consensually.
I was going to say, that sounds illegal. Yeah, that
consensually, both of you have agreed you want to do that. Just because I think that intimate part of the relationship is so important to feel connection. And if you don't have it, you can get to that point where you're like, so should we just, you know, have a beer? Watch the game. We're friends now.
What game is it? I don't
fucking know. It's what we do when we're friends.
But also you're so open about, as we said before, intrusive thoughts and things like that in your whole mind. And I think that's amazing, especially in this sort of current climate where we still tend to hold things back about stuff. And you have a book coming out. Can we get to know the title of the book? Is that allowed?
I don't know if it's still a working title, but it's Me Versus Brain.
Yeah.
Aptly named.
Yeah, which is great. And what is it going to be about? What's the whole thing?
So it's kind of like an overthinker's guide to life, I suppose. It's all the things that I've overthought, all like the anecdotal stories. It's basically like everything that I've done that I guess other people have probably gone through, or there's a lot of embarrassing stories in there that just experiences of things that are kind of like taboo or normal. Like there's a chapter there's all based around when builders come to your house and how awkward that is and how much I overthink that situation. I'm like,
so what do you do? So explain.
So it happened the other day. So I had an electrician coming.
Yeah,
literally, I tidy the house. Yeah. Put on my naked sexiest underwear.
Oh, sorry, you caught me yourself guard. Oh,
you, I didn't know you were coming.
Sorry, could you just untie me?
There's toys there. Yeah, ignore those. Yeah, no, like I clean the apartment. So, it, you know, rooms are not even going to go in. They're only going in the bathroom. And like typically I, you know, they give you an hour window and that whole hour window, you're like, okay, I really need the toilet. Like both ways I have to go. But you know, you can't because what if they turn up mid poo? You're like, shit. And also my window is right next to the door. My bathroom, it's obviously like frosted and you can't see, but I'm really scared they could see an outline. And there I am just like,
of a shadow of you.
Panic, like you just see like set bolt upright, yeah. Yeah. Rushing around.
They're like a statue, but he won't notice me.
Just like my neighbours when they do walk past, like, I mean, podcast people aren't going to see this, but you will. I go like,
well, you duck down mid-shit.
Yeah, I'm so scared. Like, sorry, just spat. I'm so scared they're going to be like, oh, there she is, taking a shit.
I got busted once. I used to be scared of the rim of a loo because I thought it was so dirty. I don't know why.
Yeah, now I feel that.
And so I used to stand and squat on it.
Wait, you used to stand?
I used to stand and squat on it. What? And then, and I was really, I was must be like 6 or 7. And then one time my dad and cousin came in when I was doing it. And they went, well, what are you doing? And I was like
Gollum. On
get out.
Get out. Get out.
So I actually threw it to them. Very flat.
That is quite weird. I've had builders at in my building for the last like 3 months, and I famously only bathe, and so they're working
let's
on the window.
Sink, let that sink in. He only bathes.
I only bathe. I've never showered.
Yeah.
Hate the thing. I've had the same thing where he can see my outline in the bath, and I'm like, do you reckon he can see my dick? So yeah, I'm just lying there really still and just try and hope that he doesn't notice that.
Well,
I'm
the
there.
Outline, what? Because you got an outline on your door.
Well, because it's like kind of frosted, but not. And like, so I think he can probably see in.
That's hilarious. So what other scenarios have you sort of mentioned this? So it's basically for individuals who are overthinkers like ourselves, mm-hmm, to understand that actually overthinking these scenarios are fine and you do it in a comical way at the same time.
I mean, there's also stuff in there about, you know, when you're in a relationship or you're like early in a relationship and you haven't, you know, broached the like going to the toilet subject and the things you do.
Oh, yeah, how do you do that?
Do you poo?
How do you do that?
Do you poo? I poo, yeah. So I actually went around at a different, so I met my boyfriend on Hinge and I...
Oh my God, so many questions.
I've had a relationship in the past where this is in the book, my boyfriend at the time, he was a dickhead basically, but he was like, girls don't poo, and I was like, okay, but I do. And he was like, no, girls don't poo, and I was like, okay. But he'd said it so much that I really looked into this as well, like why this happens.
This is where the ducking down thing was born.
This is where it all started. Like your brain tells you when to go, when it's safe. And so my brain, when I was around him, was like, not safe. So I was like, okay, cool.
It's like when dogs go for a shit. You know how they look so scared? Apparently that's because they're looking out for prey. Like, in case they get eaten.
How it happened every time.
Is that true? So when you were around him, it wasn't safe.
But this is the worst part.
Not safe.
Went on holiday with him for 3 weeks. Didn't shit once. I was so ill. I was like, come on, just
oh my
like.
God, you were more poo than women.
Yeah, it was like, horrible. I couldn't eat. And I like, it got to the point, I remember we were sat across each other at dinner and I'd ordered like a kid's pizza because I was like, I can't eat anything. And I was like, in Turkey, I'll have a kid's pizza, a margarita. He was like, a bit boring. I was like, yeah, here's the thing. I can't shit because you have convinced me I don't poo. That was awful.
That is so mental.
So you didn't poo for 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
That is
I was
mad.
Taking like laxatives, prunes, apricot, like dried apricots, nothing. I was like,
because you were still unsafe.
My brain was just like, no, it's not happening. Awful.
I have a friend of mine who he had a really bad stomach, and so he took Imodium, right? Mm. That blocks you, doesn't it? And Imodium blocks you. He didn't realize he took 12 of them, and he had to go to hospital.
OD on Imodium.
Stomach
pumped. He had to go to hospital to get his
poo pulled out.
Poo pumped.
He had to get his poo removed from him.
Like an enema.
Have a poo job.
So right. What have you been in hospital for, hey?
He had to go to hospital.
Such a waste of the NHS's time.
He had to do that. He had to go.
Heart surgery going on. Yeah, yeah. I was having some poo pulled out.
Really can't get it out. Took too many Imodiums.
That was awful. Did you come back from Turkey and break up with him?
Yeah. Literally broke up with him. I think 3 weeks after.
Because it was life and death.
Yeah, I was like, we can't
do
this.
I'm really sorry. I can't be with you anymore.
Oh, it was so traumatic.
Oh my God.
Since then, I have been so much more, you know, from the get-go, I've got to get this out. You know, just shit on the table. You know, as you do.
You've gone the other way.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, nice to meet you.
I came from a pretty traumatic past relationship where I wasn't allowed to shit. So I'm just going to poo
We're
on your lap.
We're just going to do this. Right here, you're into that, right? No, I mean, the relationship after that, it took a while. But the relationship I'm in now, my Hinge profile, I literally put on there something like, it's like the prompts. Like, yeah, I get on people most who, and it was like, who announced when they need to poop. So I was like, it's right out there.
That's
he knows
great.
I poo. And like our first conversation was like, so poop chat. I was like, yeah, just get you know, my cards out. It didn't stop it from being uncomfortable though.
I love that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think dating apps, I missed that period of dating apps because I was in relationships. Mm. But I feel like now, actually, dating apps can go both ways. But actually, people seem to have huge success now with dating apps and things like that. I suppose my story with my girlfriend was that we met on Made in Chelsea, and for ages I was like, that's not a cool story.
I think it's a cool story.
I know it is now, and I'm like, yeah, that's where we met, it's a cool story. But I think a lot of people who also met on dating apps, they're almost embarrassed at the beginning to say their story because they're like, oh, that's not a cool story. We want to be walking down the road and we meet and it's raining, like, but everyone has
I
a
love
story.
You
yeah I love you, oh my god,
it's running for a shit. We met in the loo and we realized that we both pooed.
But did you have that or no? Were you always quite comfortable with saying, oh, we met on Hinge?
I think, yeah. I mean, but we met in lockdown, so how else would you meet, you know?
Did you?
Yeah, so it's I've only been with him for like 8 months. And so we met on Hinge, but I catfished him. I was like, yeah, I live in London. I lived on the Isle of Wight at the time. And then
it's a slight lie. Yeah. And there's actually a body of water in between.
You have to forget literally. The fast ferry across.
And he'd be like, so do you want to go for a drink? And I'd be like, oh. So I'm actually really busy at the moment.
What was your really thinking? Busy. Like, you wanted him to think you were cool and you live in London.
Well, I was like, I was planning to move up to London. And I thought, you know, I was quite bored one night. I was like, I'm just going to go on Hinge. I didn't expect to like meet anyone or get on with anyone. And then, yeah, because we had a weird like way we met, we went to WhatsApp quite quickly and then were voice noting each other. But the voice notes we were doing, odd thing to do. But to
can't
get
wait,
like,
can't
so it was like,
let's... You had to kill all the seagulls.
Yeah, literally.
It's like, here's like the ferry horn. What's that? I'm just watching Titanic.
Don't worry. But no, we, to get to know each other, it was like, you can ask me a question if you say something in this accent. So we were doing like accents to each other and it was a real good icebreaker.
What did you do? Go and play one with me.
No. Yeah, okay, wait, you're going to do the accent. So
no, you have to do the accent.
So if I wanted the answer from you,
yeah,
I'd have to do the accent then you would answer.
So you would say to me, okay, I got questions. You go, well, if you're going to ask me a question, it's going to be deep, then you have to do it in an accent.
Yeah.
And so I have to go, oh,
where do you live?
Yeah, that's sorry, quite
what,
good.
What was that?
And you have to voice note it. That's a really funny icebreaker.
We were like crying with laughter at these voice notes.
I love that.
Because I'm so bad at accents.
Okay. Try and do an Irish one. Jay, Italian accent. Go.
Pizza pomodoro.
Oh, very nice.
Let's go.
Round of applause.
Yeah. That's a great icebreaker. So you were doing that with each other and that kind of broke the tension almost.
Yeah. And then I had to be like, oh, low joke. I'm actually on the Isle of Wight.
You're actually
what accent are you doing?
On the Isle of Wight, actually.
You're the Tinder swindler.
Yeah, I am. Literally.
Did you do the real Tinder swindler? Finnish?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're.
I can't do it. So bad at accents. terrible
but then you guys met and you hung out and it was great, and obviously
it was great,
it's a romantic, that's amazing. You did say, Hayley, at the beginning that you said you were cringed out because we have a weird connection somehow, and I said you got to save it for the podcast. And you still haven't told me what it is.
I've met you before.
I thought we'd met.
No, is but that, you're not thinking what I've met you through.
I've met you somewhere. This is so funny. I've met you somewhere.
No, it makes me cringe.
Oh, I've met you somewhere and I couldn't remember what it was.
So when I was at uni, and I get screenshots of this all the time. I was at uni, I used to occasionally be an extra in Made in Chelsea. And I've probably met you not met you, but I've probably been in the same room as you three times. But then, you know, when they used to do the like rap party, whatever it was called. I went to one of
how much are you going, oh god,
on it makes me want to die. I went to one of those and
die from excitement.
So you're, excited,
your big
Jamie.
Break
so they did this thing, and at the end you like asked questions to the cast, and it was a situation like this.
It was under the bridge type thing in Stamford Bridge. It would have been someone like that.
And I literally look, I mean, I haven't seen it since and I don't ever want to find it.
Can't wait.
But I am dressed like smart casual. But you know, when it was like girls used to like get really dressed up for stuff and be like, I look really great. It was like smart casual try hard. Like I'm going on a night out. What was I thinking? But I asked you a question, can't remember what it was, but I remember watching it the week later and I was like, I am profusely sweating.
It was really hot in that thing.
Yeah, and you really see the sweat.
What was the question?
Can't remember.
I'm trying to be a reality star.
How do I go about this?
Oh my
it
God,
was
that is
so
loud. So I'm not just saying this. I swear to God, we had met before.
Mm.
So it must have been those times when back in the day when we had those, when we had to do those things and extras would come. And then you guys would suddenly realize how long it would take to film everything.
I think I have a picture with you as well, but I would never be able to find it.
I'd never be able to find it. Hang on.
Background.
Oh, God, that's so funny.
So weird.
So hang on. So you left then university, and then what were you doing before you were in the world of social
media?
Made
in Chelsea.
I was an extra made in Chelsea, actually.
I love it that you're going, your toes are going, oh,
literally,
God.
Literally, you can't see, but they are like this.
Talent.
I'm like, yeah, having a good time, thanks.
Oh my God. But what did you do then before social media and things and all this started picking up?
Well, I was a big old job quitter. I really, really did the rounds. I worked in social media as like a social and content executive, whatever they're called. Mark knows. And then
can see why you got fired.
They were like, you're really good at this. You speak really well.
What's
well
my job role again?
Yeah. Something. Meeting clients was, you know, great. And then I went over and worked at, I don't know if I'm allowed to say where it was. So Mouse World in Florida.
Really?
Mouse World.
You worked in Mouse World?
Mouse World.
I thought I recognized
you. I had
What? Oh no, I know what you're gonna say. When you went to Disney.
Don't went to Mouse World in Paris. Yeah.
Got yourself some tail, didn't you?
Got myself some jasmine.
Oh yeah, you did actually shag Jasmine, didn't you?
I didn't know. That's so awful you say it like that. No, I hooked up with Jasmine, Jasmine.
Jasmine.
And she was in her Jasmine outfit.
I wasn't a princess.
Oh, you weren't a princess?
And I wasn't a mouse.
What were you?
What were you?
I was a bartender.
Oh, God.
It was great fun.
You went to Mouse World to become a bartender?
To be a bartender.
That's quite cool.
It was really fun. And had a great time. And then I came home and then I worked in hospitality for a bit. And I was like, don't know what I'm doing with my life. And then I went back to Mouse World, did that again. And then was like,
hey, you went back.
Yeah, and I went
can't
back.
Keep me away.
I love those mice. And then I came back, worked in hospitality again. And then I was like, let's get back in the comedy ring.
Yeah, well done, though.
That happened.
I love that. I saw this quote the other day that was the hardest thing to do in life is to do what makes you happy. And actually, we end up, a lot of ourselves, following down roads or going to different things because the stuff that makes us happy, we don't think we can actually do. Imposter syndrome, financially, it probably doesn't work, whatever it may be. And actually to circle back and just go, God, actually, no, this is really what I want to do. Yeah. And that seems like what you've done. You've gone into your spot where you just are, and it's work and things, and it's tough sometimes, but you are happy with what you're doing.
Yeah, I love what I do. I mean, it's what I wanted to do forever. And a lot of people will be like, Mouse World was my dream job.
Are they real mice or is it? So yeah, were you talking about her going to Mice World or what she's doing now?
Oh my God. I don't know. I thought you'd lost your mind for a second.
I love mice. But no, a lot of people will say that, you know, Mice or Mouse World is, you know, is my dream job, but this is my dream world job.
But that's amazing.
This is what I love doing.
So are you doing any stand-up or anything like that at all? Are you never going to give it a go?
I'd love to. The only thing is, like, I wrote some stand-up a while ago and I read it to my boyfriend and he was like, that's so funny. But also I read it to some of my girlfriends and they were like, is it okay to say that? And I was like,
yes, it is.
But isn't that why it's
That's why funny? It's funny. That's why it's funny.
But also I think I just draw a blank. If I got up there, I'd be like,
no, I don't think you would. Like, honestly, I think, again, it goes back to that whole point. Whereas before we were talking about sort of OCD and intrusive thoughts, once you expose yourself to the situation, realize that it's not threatening, it's actually okay. Yeah. And so with stand-up comedy, is once you do it once, you go, okay, fine, that was, oh God, that was pretty intense, but you've done it once and then you understand it more and more. And actually it's a real thrilling buzz. And
have you done it?
Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah. Done it twice.
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times.
Second time didn't go
too well. But I've done it three times, actually.
Haven't done it since.
Yeah, third time was even worse than the second time.
Wait, are you doing it? You're doing it.
I'm meant to be doing it again. I haven't confirmed it, though. Oh. But I think you should challenge yourself and go and give it a go. You'd be amazing at it. You'd be hilarious.
You say that.
I think you would be amazing.
Then you'd hear the material and be like, maybe you shouldn't have done that.
Oh my God, you'd be great. Hayley, when can we get your book and where is it going to be?
It will be in 2023 in spring. Yeah, just getting confirmation.
I'm so psyched for you. That's so amazing.
It's scary writing a book, though.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Never written a book before. No idea what I was doing, but
you found it pretty terrifying, didn't you?
My book experience was odd. Let's just
your book experience as opposed to writing it.
I did write it.
Physically writing it.
I freaking wrote it, dude, with my...
with your mind. That someone else suddenly just took the telepathic thoughts and wrote
it for
you.
They were like, here we go, done.
No, honestly, you're so funny. To anyone who hasn't checked out Hayley on Instagram, go and check it out. We're going to leave the links below. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
It has
me.
Been so much fun. And I knew that we had met before. I just couldn't remember
you're
where.
You're saying it now.
I swear to God.
I knew I'd met you, stalker.
We've had conversations before. We've spoken before, 100%. And I was like, I know this person. So it's great to see you again.
Great to catch up. Yeah.
Great to catch up. Hayley, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Okay. Take a shit.
All right.
Yeah. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Anyways, thanks. Everybody, we'll see you next week. Bye bye. You didn't know what discharge was.
I've never been so nervous.
You didn't know.
I was literally freaking out.
Yeah. What is it?
I didn't know. Well, I sort of knew what it was, but I didn't know how to say it and I didn't want to say it. And
we should be, though. I love the fact that be liberal about our body parts and sex. And, you know, some people eat the placenta.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's got stem cells in it, isn't it?
And I was a cesarean baby, right? Which means
me
that,
too.
Hey, snap, baby.
What's up?
What's up, bud?
Yeah.
Which means, and you had a connection, which means that you get cut out of your mama's tummy. Because something is wrong or that it's choice or whatever it is. I was just the wrong way around. I was being strangled by the umbilical cord.
It's a lot. It explains a lot.
And I have IBS and supposedly that's because you don't get the same fluids from the vagina which go into your mouth as you come out the vagina. So therefore you get, that's
why
you have stomach.
You don't get the bacteria.
Yeah, so you get stomach issues. So now what they do is they get a cloth and they wipe up all the stuff from the vagina and squeeze it into the baby's mouth.
If I was the baby, I would be like, what are you doing?
But I also had a stomach problem when I was born. I had to have my stomach cut open and untwisted because every time I ate, I would projectile vomit.
Oh my God, little mitt.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the magic of modern science. And
yours came out your mouth. Mine came out my butt.
Yours is still coming out your butt.
My mum said she's opened up my nappies. And it was honestly like a freaking shit bomb had gone off.
Little pooey Jamie.
Yeah, everywhere.
Disgusting.
My brother changed my niece's nappy the other day. He put it on the surface and held her legs in there and opened up a nappy. And this, what I only can say, looked like molten lava came out all over his jeans.
Oh, God.
The most disgusting. Anyway, enough of that poo chat. All right, everybody, hope you enjoyed the episode. Get ready for our bonus episode, always on a Wednesday. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it, and we love you all dearly. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Whatever you're doing, be safe. We love you. See you around.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.